Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 6, as I believe that special just leads right into what we're going to be preaching on this morning. Verses 8 down to verse 15 is the model prayer. The model prayer given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we don't coordinate those specials before the message. I don't know that my wife even, she asked me, what are you preaching on? I always tell her the same thing. She hardly ever asks anymore because it was always the same thing, the Bible. You know, I don't never tell anybody what I'm preaching on because the Lord does that. And so anyway, it's a blessing when I have the confirmation and seeing how God works through the music to prepare the hearts for those that to receive the message from the Scriptures. And so if you'll stand with me this morning, we'll read this together. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be reading verse 8 down to verse 15, which is, this is known as the model prayer, but it's not an actual prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're wanting to find an actual prayer, a chapter given to that would be John chapter 17. That's the Lord actually praying to the Heavenly Father concerning special needs. But this is a model prayer. This is intended to be a lesson on how to pray. And so let's read here, starting in verse 8, we'll read down to verse 15. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, Lord, we love you. Thank you for, first of all, loving us, for drawing us closer to you and giving us this opportunity that each one has had to be in church today, to be able to worship you in spirit and truth, and to receive that spiritual help that you have for each one of us. And I pray, God, that there would not be one person leave this auditorium without receiving that spiritual help that you have for them today. I pray, Father, that you would speak to each one of us. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Many would look to this and they use this as somewhat of a chant. They just continue to repeat this over and over again, like that's really doing something to help them. It was never intended to be a chant. It was never intended to be able to read and just continue to repeat over and over again. That's not prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It was to teach his disciples, and that's who it was addressed to, is those that already believe in God, those that have believed that Jesus was a Savior and received him as their own. And so he's teaching them how to pray because prayer is so very, very important in a Christian's life. And so he's teaching his disciples who to pray to and what to pray for. And he does this because he knew they would need God's help. Can I tell you that every one of us here this morning, if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you have need of prayer because you need God's help. If we're going to live as God would have us to live and we're going to accomplish the things that God would have us to accomplish, we need God's help in order to do that. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need God's help because you can't make it to heaven on your own. And the first prayer that God would hear is a sinner's cry of repentance and a desire to receive a free gift that only can come by way of Jesus Christ. And that's everlasting eternal life. You need God's help as a lost person to be saved. So Jesus here is revealing to us and revealing to the disciples at that time who to pray to, and understanding He is our Heavenly Father. Wow. He is in heaven. He is aware of everything on earth. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it already is being done in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. This morning, and there's so much in the Lord's Prayer that I could spend a series on and teaching on the Lord's Prayer, but we're not doing that this morning. This morning, I want to look down to verse 13. The last several messages that I've preached, it's trying to, and the Lord just led us in the direction here to help us to understand that we have to, as even born-again believers, stop sinning and continue to live for the Lord by sinning less and less. Jesus taught the several times, and He addressed several different ones, and He would tell them whether He healed the man of his crippled condition. He told him to go. You've been made whole, and sin no more. Sin is what got you into this mess. Go out there and live a life with a desire not to sin. We preached the last message on the cross of Christ. And what a blessing it is to look to the cross of Christ that helps us to realize why we ought to live and serve the Lord and live a holy life. Here we find in verse 13, He says this, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." I would preach a message that I've somewhat entitled, "What We Need God to Do for Us," based on verse 13. Now, there's many things we need God to do for us, but based on this Lord's Prayer and based on verse 13, to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Temptations are part of this life. We all look all the way back in the Old Testament, look all the way back to the beginning of creation of man and Adam and Eve, and the temptation was there present in the Garden of Eden. And from every day since then, mankind has faced temptations every day of our lives. Everyone. Temptations are part of this life. They're common to all. Even when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, does not mean that you're above being tempted. No believer is above being tempted. How we handle temptations will be revealed in how we live our lives. If you look back over your life, how you lived your life and what you have dealt with up to this point has been an indication of how you've been able to handle the temptations. A person who lies has yielded to temptation. A person who steals has yielded to temptation to steal. A person who gives into lust has been a person who has yielded to temptations to lust. A person who rejects God has yielded to a temptation to reject the very thought of God. A person who has yielded to reject God and reject God's ways. If you rejected God's plan for your life, God's will for your life, you have yielded to temptation. So basically, the temptations to sin comes before sin. Every sin that you've committed as an adult or every sin that you've committed as a teenager is a result of, first of all, a temptation that you have yielded to. And when you yield to the temptations, we find that yielding to temptations leads to sin. And James says, "What sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death." The results or the penalty or the consequences of that sin. And so understanding that they're common to all, God would have us to look to Him and pray for deliverance over temptations. Jesus understood that. He understood that His disciples were going to face some very great temptations. And as He looked ahead of their lives, the New Testament church and the furtherance of the gospel, because He would prepare them to carry on what He has established in the New Testament church, as we've been studying that in our Sunday morning Sunday school. And so the perpetuation of His church, the biblical church, in order for it to go forward, they would have to look to God to be able to overcome the temptations of this life. If they would not overcome the temptations, and the temptations would come, they would not be able to fulfill God's plan for their lives. And that has not changed. That's the very same for every born-again believer. That's the very same for every person that lives on this planet Earth and that has lived on this planet Earth. In order for you to be saved, you're going to have to overcome the temptation that comes by way of the devil to blind you to the fact that there is a God. He's going to try to convince you that there is no God. He's going to try to convince you that there's another way to salvation. There's another way, there's some other way to heaven aside from the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to get saved, it's going to be because you have overcome the temptation to believe such lies and deception. And if you're going to live as a believer and accomplish what God has you here to accomplish, it's because you have overcome such lies and deceptions of temptations. So God, in this model prayer, one of the things that Jesus wanted His disciples to learn, that you need this from God and you have to pray this, you have to ask God for this, and that is to lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. So the first thing here is lead us not into temptations. Now, why would He word it that way, seeing that God cannot lead into temptations? I think it was meant so that those that would understand that God cannot lead a person into temptation, so it was presented this way to realize that without God I'm going to go in the way of temptations, but with God I can go a different direction. James chapter 1, I want you to see this. James in chapter 1, not that God would lead into temptations, for God cannot lead into temptations. The word temptations has two definitions to it. If you will study the scripture and understanding that, the English word temptation would have two Greek definitions to that. One would be a solicitation to evil. That's the temptation that you find in the scripture that God cannot and will not lead into a path of evil. God never tempts anyone to do good, and God will never tempt anyone to do bad. Amen? God does not solicit humanity to evil. But then the other part of the definition of that word temptation is test or to try. God will put His children through tests, and He does allow us to go through trials, that through the tests of our faith and the trials of our faith that we might be strengthened. But the idea of solicitation to evil, God cannot. Look right here, we find this in the scriptures. James chapter 1 verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. So understanding the scriptures, He doesn't do that. He does not, that is, that solicitation to evil, God will not do that. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth the temptation before, was it bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So he tells them to pray, and what he is revealing to them is, lead us not into temptation. That is an indication, and it's somewhat of a reverse way of asking this, a reverse way of presenting this. I desire to be led in the paths of righteousness. And Lord, without your leading, I will be led astray. Is acknowledging God, God, without your leading in my life, then I will of my own self be led astray. Without your influence, the world will influence me, and the world will influence me to be led astray. Without your leading, then Satan will tempt me, and through Satan's temptation, I will be led astray. And so I'm acknowledging, God, I do not want to be led astray. God, I want your leading in my life. That's what he's saying. As we understand the rest of the scriptures, that is what the prayer is. Lord, I don't want to be led astray. And all these other areas and all these other things that bring temptation into my life will lead me astray. And without your presence, I will go that direction. But I don't want to go that direction. So God, I want your leading in my life. Now, this is nothing new. We find this has always been the case for mankind that look to God and desire God's leading in their lives. I love the book of Psalms, and there's many occasions in the book of Psalms. I want to share a few with you in the book of Psalms in chapter 5. Psalms in chapter 5. If I go too fast, write them down. I'm just going to read a couple verses here. In Psalms chapter 5 and verse 8, the psalmist says this, "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy and in thy fear. Will I worship toward thy holy temple?" Just acknowledging God, a reverence for God. And as he comes into the house of the Lord, as you would come into church, he says this, "I'm doing this because lead me." I trust that you're in church this morning because you're acknowledging that you believe in a creator God. And you're in a biblical church this morning because you believe that this Bible is the Word of God. And as you come in to be influenced by the preaching and the teaching of this Bible, that will help do what? Lead us. And so he says, "I'm coming to your house," and he says, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." I want your leading in my life. That's what the psalmist is saying there. In chapter 27, that was the book of Psalms, in chapter 27, verse 11 down to verse 14, the psalmist writes this. He says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And the psalmist here is writing and he says, "Lord, I want to wait on you. I want your leading in my life." In chapter 31, just a couple chapters over from there, chapter 31, verses 1 through 3, the psalmist says this, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily, be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Amen. Can I tell you, that's exactly what Jesus is saying that we need to ask God for. We need to look to an almighty God and say, "Lord, outside of your presence in my life, I'm going to go astray. But God, my desire and my prayer is for you to lead me." When temptations come, and they will, "Lord, lead my heart." Because that's where temptations, first of all, they appeal to our feelings, our desires, Now, they can come in different ways. They come as you look around, you look through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. But you're looking around in this world and they're coming in different ways. And the first thing that they'll do is, if you're not careful, if you're not mindful of God, we're going to have a desire because it's going to be a temptation of our feelings. A desire to have more than what I have. Desire to have extramarital relationships. A desire to have, as I'm looking to the world, and especially if you're being influenced by the world, and you're being influenced by the world more than what you realize if you're watching much television, because that is nothing but worldly temptations to try to make you think this is the way it is and this is what we have need of and all the different things. Every commercial, especially the beer commercials, are probably the most well thought out commercials. Because they want to take something that's going to lead to your death and destruction and make you think that it's only way to have fun and this is how we come together and this is the joy of this world and this is a good life. And by looking at that, then it presents, first of all, if you're not mindful of God, it presents, first of all, a desire to experience that. And that temptation will come to experience what this world has. And if you're not careful, then it affects my feelings. That temptation comes for me to desire that. Unless I'm mindful of God. And I'm saying, God, take the lead. Lead my feelings. There's been many times that, before I even realize it, something in this world has caught my desire. And if I'm not aware of God in my life, then I am going to be led by that desire. But when I'm aware of God, I'm thinking, Lord, no. Take that away.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't want that desire in my heart. Lord, help me take the lead in my feelings. Take the lead, Lord. I'm asking you to help me to overcome that feeling and turn back to you and have the feeling of righteousness and holiness and that is pleasing to you, what is pleasing to thee. Lead me. Lead my heart. Oh, here's a very important one. Lead my mind. Because that's the second thing the temptation will do. The temptation is going to, first of all, try to appeal to your desire. It's going to appeal to your eyes and the flesh and all the different things of this world. And it's going to appeal to my desire. And that's where I need to stop it. I don't want to go that direction. I don't want to have those feelings. God, take the lead in my feelings. And then if you're not letting God take the lead, what will happen is that feeling now will become a thought. And in my mind, I'm going to try to figure out a way to accomplish experiencing that feeling. Because I'm not overcome the feeling, and so now I'm going to, all right, I'm married, so how am I going to do this? Or I'm supposed to be living this way because I'm a Christian. How am I going to do this without being exposed? How am I going to get by with this? What do I have to do? And before you know it, your mind is affected by the temptation, and our minds are going toward meeting this feeling. Unless I'm mindful of God, and I say, God, I don't know where those thoughts are coming from. But God, my true thought is to have your will in my life. God, take the lead in my mind. Jesus is trying to help his disciples, says, you need this from God, and you're going to have to learn to pray this. You're going to have to learn to pray, God, take the lead in my life. Lead me according to how I'm feeling. God knows how you feel and why you feel the way you do better than you know why you feel the way you do. Sometimes I get thinking, I thought, whoa, Lord, my mind, I don't know where it's coming from. Have you ever been on top of somewhere high? You know, you're looking over and I don't like to be in high places. That's something my stomach when I look over, you know. But I remember looking over And a thought comes to mind. Jump. Whoa! I don't want to jump off of this building. I don't want to jump off of this mountain, whatever it might be. Where is that coming from? Lord, take over my mind. I do not want that. That is not coming from me. Amen. But Satan, if he can get you to jump, amen, he'll get you to jump. But I don't want that leading. Lord, I don't know why I'm thinking the way I'm thinking. I've prayed that many times. God, what's going on? And many times when I'm praying that prayer, God will say, well, it's because you're not getting enough rest. It's because you're on this kind of medication. Or this is taking place or that taking place. All right, Lord, now I understand. But now that I understand, take the lead in my mind. Amen. I tell people in the hospital all the time when I visit them and they're going through, if they're going through chemotherapy, it's putting poison in your body. If you're going through a situation where you're on drugs, painkillers, and I understand you need that, praise the Lord for it, but it's going to affect your thinking. And when you're going through that, you have to make yourself think right. How do I make myself think right? Pray. God, take the lead in my thoughts. Take the lead in how I'm thinking. Make sure that my thoughts are in alignment with your thoughts. I want your will for my life. God, not only do I want the right feelings, Lord, help me with having the right feelings toward my loved ones and toward the world and toward everyone else. Lord, help me to have right feelings. But also, Lord, from there, help me to have right thinking. Take the lead in my mind. Jesus said, you'll need this. I want to teach you how to pray. And when I teach you how to pray, be aware of your need for this. Probably the most important. Take the lead in my spirit. Because that's my will. And ultimately, that's what you'll give an account for. Not for your feeling and not for a thought, but for what you do with it. When that feeling becomes my will for that, that's when it becomes sin. When my thinking becomes a will for that, that's when it becomes sin. When I no longer say, God, I don't want that feeling, take it away. Lord God, I don't want that thought, take it away. When I fail to do that, then I accept that, and I accept that through my spirit. Your spirit is what is eternal. Your spirit is what's going to stand before God, either at the judgment seat of Christ as a believer or at the great white throne judgment as a lost person. And you'll give an account for your will. God, take the lead in my spirit. Take the lead. For Lord, I do not want to go the way of temptation. So lead me. I do not want to go in the way of temptation. And I battle it every day. And the solution is, Lord, take the lead. And he says, but deliver us from evil. To deliver us from temptation is to deliver us from the evil one. If God does not tempt, where is the root of that temptation coming from? It's coming from the tempter. Satan is a master of deception and lies. He can paint such a beautiful picture to lure us into his trap. This last week, I had an opportunity to go fishing on Tuesday. And as I went fishing, I don't get to fish too often, but it was an amazing experience. A preacher friend of mine down in the Good Hope Baptist Church, Bob Dickey, and he has a strip pits out there. And we got on a strip pit that no one had fished for a long time. And we got out there, and fish, in order to catch them, you have to use a lure. And that lure sends a signal to them, it's something other than what it is. And I put on what's called a rattle trap. Now, this rattle trap, it is kind of, it's very shiny. It was the blue and silver, chrome. And when it goes through the water, the sun will hit it, and it'll shine. It'll look like it's a fish. But it's not. It's a hard plastic. And on this hard plastic, it has two huge hooks on it. And I put that on. Now, I'm the one throwing it out there. I know it's not real. But the good thing about it is, the fish didn't know it wasn't real. And it was amazing, because every time I threw it out there and was reeling in, it doesn't happen too much. Usually the weather changed, and it was good yesterday, but they were on. And every time I threw that out there and started reeling it, a fish thought it was another fish. And that rattle trap would hook them, and once they bit it, I mean, it's too late once they took a bite of it, they realized, whoa, wait a minute, this is not like any other fish I've ever eaten before. And they took a bite of it, and these barbed hooks stick into their mouths, and they've got a couple of them, so one's sticking in the mouth, the other's sticking their gill, and they cannot get out. They cannot get released, and they try, and they fought, and they would jump out of the water, and they'd go back into the water, and jump out of the water, and they would fight very hard, but they were too late. And I would bring them in, and I would think, whew, what nice fillets. But they, if they could think, I don't think they can, and relate. You tricked me. You made me think that that was edible. You made me think that that was coming my way just for me to have dinner, and in return, I became dinner. And can I tell you, that's exactly what Satan does through temptation. He lures humanity into his trap. 1 Timothy chapter 4, let me just real quickly here. I'm almost done, so stay with me. But 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, he says this: Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Spirits of the devil are going to seduce, and doctrines of devils. In chapter 6 and verse 9, it says this: But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. That temptation to have a desire to be rich and have all the world's monies and have all the world's goods is a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. In 2 Timothy in chapter 2 and verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. In Luke in chapter 21, we find here the Lord teaching, and in Luke in chapter 21 verse 34, let me read this to you because this is really insightful. In verse 34, he says this: And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that the day come upon you unawares. Well, we deal with trials and we deal with a lot of different things. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and I love it, pray. Not only pray, but pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape. all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Lord, take the lead. As you take the lead, deliver me from Satan's traps. And Lord, if I've fallen into one of those traps, deliver me from it. Rescue me. Keep me from returning to it ever again. How many of you, I mean, don't have to raise your hand, but you make a understand. How many of you have fallen into some of those traps? How many of you have fallen into some of those thinking it was one thing, it was something else, and you've allowed that temptation to lure you into something that caused you much grief? Deliver me from that. Rescue me. Keep me. In closing, can I tell you that God can do it? God can do it. In Romans in chapter 8, let me just write this down. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, he says this. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on your side, you don't have to worry about it. Because you and God are a majority. If God is on your side. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 13, it says this, there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. It is common to man. Satan uses the very same temptations. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God can. He can. In 2 Peter in chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says this, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows how. He tells us, greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. Greater. God is able. He can do it. But we must ask. Do we truly want help? That's the question. Do we truly want help? My teenage years, there was a couple years that I was running from the Lord. A couple years there, God was working. I knew that He was going to call me into some kind of ministry. And I rebelled against it. And I ran away from it. During that 2 years, I didn't ask for God to lead me. I didn't want God's leading. My life was going downhill very fast. It's only by the grace of God that I didn't destroy my life. It was only by the grace of God that I didn't have my life ended. There was many of opportunities, and God took me through many a trial, many a chastisement. My life could have been snuffed out very easily. But I didn't pray for God's help. I didn't pray for His leading. Why? I didn't want it. Can I tell you, I believe there's some possibly here this morning that you are struggling with a lot of temptations and you're not overcoming the temptations simply because you don't want it. When I finally got right with God, I started begging for His leading. Because I had already put some things in my mind that I didn't want there. I'd already done some things that caused this old physical body to desire other I didn't want to desire. And the difference was I wanted help. I wanted God's help. And I cried out. I begged God, God, take the lead in my desires. Take the lead in my heart. Take the lead in my mind. And most of all, take the lead in what I yield myself to, because that is what I am ultimately going to give an account for.
That's right.
You want it. Jesus said, you need to learn how to pray. Because this is something only God can do for you. And He'll only do it as you ask. Are you asking? Are you begging? God, take the lead. Deliver me from the evil one. Are you asking? Like they've every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you want it or not? If you don't want it, God's not going to take the lead in your life, and you will go by the way of temptation. But if you want God to take the lead, it begins with you crying out, I want your help. God, please, I beg you, take the lead. Take the lead. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church today, for this passage of Scripture, for you seeing the need that we have to learn how to pray and to be able to ask you for things that only you can do for us. Oh, how we have need of this. And I pray this morning, God, that you would work now in each one of our hearts and our minds and direct our spirits to cry out for you to take the lead. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name.